Lord Jesus, tonight help us to look at the meaning behind the words in the songs that we sing. In your name we pray. Amen. One source says that the three most popular Christmas songs, Joy to the World, the first, Noel, and Silent Night. I love them. But there's something in each of them that's kind of weird. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Okay, stop. Second verse. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove. Now, is that song about Christmas or about Jesus' second coming? Think about it. He rules the earth with truth and grace. It's about Jesus' second coming. Written by Isaac Watts in the 1700s. Great song, great Christmas, great Advent. But the words, really, he wrote it, has more to do with Jesus' second coming. You didn't know that, did you? Did anybody know that? I'm sure you did. That's great. Okay. The second song, The First Noel. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was deep of what? Does that sound like snow? Can't you picture the shepherds hunkering down because of the snow, 12-inch snowstorm? No, there's nothing wrong with the song. But you know what? Christmas, we celebrated on the 25th of December because early Christians wanted to counteract the Roman pagan light festivals, okay? But it would have been probably April or May. Don't let that destroy your Christmas. Shepherds wouldn't have been hunkering down under snow because it rarely snows in the Middle East, okay? I don't want to disappoint you. I'm giving you facts. The last one, Silent Night, okay? Silent night, holy night, all is... Okay, how many of you have had a child? Was your children's birth peaceful, calm, and quiet? The answer is what? Most cases, not. So, it's okay. Now, whenever you sing those songs, you're going to think, oh man, now that destroyed my Christmas singing, right? The whole point of me doing this is there is one great Christmas tune that is very full of theology, and you probably like the hymn, and you don't understand all the words. Got it? Hark the herald, what? So listen, we're gonna sing the first verse. Here we go. Theology is incredible, okay? It's not why I love it. I like it. When I grew up, my dad's name was Harold. He was a pastor. I had no clue what a herald was other than my dad, okay? So theology can be confusing. Second verse is even more theologically rich. Let's sing it. Christ... did this for a reason, because two questions. Next slide. If I were to ask you, where did Christmas begin and why did it happen then? In other words, not now. Why did it happen 2,000 years ago? So if where did Christmas begin? I want to answer that question with the verse that four verses that Phil read. Here they are on the screen. Would you read them with me? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through... Hang on, those are important words. In other words, the gospel was promised when? Through the prophets. Got it? Read with me? In the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature, next slide, was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, if I were to ask you, when did Christmas begin? What's your first name?
Trenton?
Okay. When did Christmas begin? This is a mind game, okay? Did it begin on Christmas Eve or was it before Christmas Eve? Before Christmas Eve, okay? So, was Christmas happening when the angel came to Zechariah and said, your wife's going to have a baby? The answer is what? Yes. Was it happening when Mary was visited by the angel? The answer is what? Did it happen before when it came to Joseph? Yes, it happened. Isaiah, for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? So did Christmas happen before then? The answer is what? When did Christmas start? Yes. Garden of Eden. God creates everything beautiful in chapters 1 and 2. And the thing that still either intrigues me or how come everything was perfect in Adam for Adam, but it wasn't all good? It wasn't in good until he made a woman. Think about that. To compliment. And then all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are tricked into sinning by Satan, and God has to kick them out of the garden, right? Yes? But then he gives a promise. In Genesis 3, verse 15, next slide. This is called by theologians the proto-evangelium, which means the first time, proto is first, evangelium, the gospel, the first time the gospel is mentioned or anticipated. In other words, God kicks them out of the Garden of Eden and says, I'm going to give you the promise of a Messiah. Next slide. Here it is. Would you read it with me? I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike. See the word offspring? Some translations call it the seed. Let me explain something to you. Next slide. Maybe. Yeah. Would you read it with me? The woman has the egg, so how can a woman have a seed? Wait a minute, why is that? It's used over, that word is used over 300 times, and every time except this verse, it's used of a man. Because the man has the what? Seed. So, this is not a biology class or a, okay? The only time it refers to a woman is because Mary was a virgin. The Holy Spirit implanted the seed. Get it? So who did Jesus look like? Who impregnated Mary? God. Did you get this? I know it's kind of weird. I had a lot of fun preparing this. Kind of strange though. Because, I got to go back to my notes. Adam and Eve sin. They have a son named Cain and another son named Abel. And what happened there? They killed each one. Killed one. They had another son named Seth. And if you look through everything, Abraham was given the promise. And his second son, if you will, Isaac, was given the promise. And he had twins. Great blessing. Then the second twin got the blessing. And then Jacob has how many boys? And there was a lot of sibling rivalry. The whole Old Testament is a story of, man, dysfunction. Next slide. But In that dysfunction, we have a line established from Adam to Seth to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah and to David. What this means is the next slide. Matthew chapter 1 begins, it's a New Testament, by saying the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who? Abraham. So, Christmas starts way back in the Old Testament, amen? And then the second question is, why then? We find the answer, next slide, and would you read it with me? But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that we might receive the full rights of son. Why? What does fullness mean? It means in the Greek, ripe. I mean, it's like when a mother's water breaks and it's like, got to get to the hospital. That ripe. Get it? It's time. You know, can you imagine if Jesus were born today, would there be a lot more exposure? I mean, think of Facebook Live event, right? Woo! Think of the shepherds going taking selfies at the manger, right? I say that because we live in a culture, everything's about me, right? And the whole Christmas story is never about us. It's always about Jesus. Remember Jesus' first words? As recorded by Mark, he said, repent, the kingdom of God is what? At hand. Then John the Baptist comes preparing the way. So, next slide says it was the right time spiritually because the Assyrians and Babylonians and the Romans who were ruling now were in control and Jews wondered when's it going to happen. Next slide, it was also the right time culturally. You ever heard of Alexander the Great? He conquered the world and he died at age 33, but he brought one language called the Greek. That's what the Bible was written in. And then next it was called also politically because Caesar Augustus and the Roman Pax Romana created peace and a system of roads. I bring this all up, next slide, because it's the phrase that God sent his son suggests pre-existence. That Jesus, which is the name given to his human nature, but existed somewhere in the second person of the Trinity in the Old Testament called the Son of God before he came to earth. This is heavy stuff, isn't it? So, Jesus stands before Pilate. And this is what he says, next slide. For this reason, I came into the what? In other words, I was not a part of this world. To bear witness to the truth. To redeem us. To pay us back. So listen closely to the words of the songs that you sing. They have rich meaning. You know, there's one song. I want you to tell me, listen to the words. Don't sing them with me. Listen to the words and tell me what's the motive behind the story. You better not cry. You better not pout. You better not. Oh, shoot. How's it start? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Stop. It's all about if they're good or bad, correct? Is there anybody here who's good? No. I mean, we're great in God's eyes. But we, Xander, you even sin, okay? But we're, okay, none of us are good. So the things that really matter are all about Jesus. And what's interesting for me is we live by mercy and grace. So as we close this message, we're going to sing verse 3 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing because it's got the right words. Here we go. If you are so glad that you have a second birth in Christ, please rise. for the benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love that comes from God the Father, and the fellowship of His Spirit empower us during Advent and Christmas and Epiphany through Lent and Easter to be at peace. Amen.